Yes, the same goes here. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, honorable members, let me take this opportunity on a beautiful Friday morning to welcome all of you to this honorable house called the Meeting of Portfolio Committee on Transport. Thank you once more for your commitment to this meeting. I've earlier on been discussing with the Secretariat, and I'm told that it is normally a difficult thing to hold a Portfolio Committee meeting on Friday. I hope not with this Portfolio Committee, with all the zeal and commitment that we have. We are today in the main dealing with the item, which is a presentation to the Portfolio Committee on Transport by the Department of Transport, led by the Minister of Transport, Ujola, on two issues, basically the steps following the 2020 festive season. That is going to be an information that we are going to digest, and we'll ask questions where we can. And I can see that the department has taken it further to come and give us information about their plan concerning the upcoming Easter, which we hope will be the real Easter this time around. Because the department has been long here, let me then take this opportunity before I give them, just to record properly apologies, Valerie.
Who is late? He had a doctor's appointment. Mr. May is leaving at 10 today due to party commitments. And Ms. Noluchungu also apologized, Chair.
So is McDonald's? It's McDonald's?
Yes.
Noluchungu? Those are honorable members who will not be here. Then Honorable Manu will arrive a bit later, and Honorable Pete May will leave a bit earlier, around 10. Am I correct?
Yeah, Mr. Sithole is just having some connection about the slot.
Okay. That's okay, Valerie. Right, let's...
Good morning, Chair.
Wow.
Good morning.
Siyakubona mfowethu. Umuthengela semihle. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jamba. Thank you. Let's now cross over to the Department of Transport, led, of course, by the Minister Ujola. Jola, masikubize sikumeme sikunikeze baba ithuba lokuthi ukhulume nathi.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I just came from the NCCC for this meeting, and Chair of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Msebenzi Zwani, members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister and Director General, Mr. Alec Muyemi. We're having a meeting of climate change at 10 o'clock, so I wouldn't stay on. I just dropped off from the NCCC meeting to come to this presentation. Over the 6 week period commencing from 1st December 2020 to 11th January 2021, our law enforcement officers team conducted one of the most challenging road safety campaigns ever undertaken in recent history. The challenges were posed by the COVID-19 pandemic and the wet weather conditions during the 2020 festive season. Notwithstanding all that, and in true spirit of commitment to survive our law enforcement officers were out in full force. 518 traffic officers have tested positive for COVID-19 and had to be isolated, while 17 passed away during the period under review. This, together with the disaster management regulations, severely curtailed our ability to undertake face-to-face activities that we normally do to promote road safety education and awareness. Despite all these limitations, our law enforcement enforcers conducted 2,937 roadblocks, where 1,391 vehicles were stopped. This resulted in 245,763 traffic fines being issued and a total of 7,309 vehicles that don't deserve to be on the public roads being discontinued, with a further 3,386 vehicles impounded. A total of 4,144 motorists were arrested for offenses that include drunken driving, excessive speeding, violation of operating permits, and possession of false documents. We also executed high-profile campaigns to raise public awareness on road safety. This includes the Hood for Life road safety campaign, and it's not just about you, road safety campaign, which we executed with our private sector partners such as aware.org and Distel. The Medical Research Council also assisted with travel protocols and guidelines. While the overall patterns show that the majority of South Africans respected the law and observed the national state of disaster regulations, the numbers also demonstrated that there were a few intransigent motorists on the road. 34.1% of total reported crashes happened during the curfew between midnight and 6 in the morning. More than half, 54.3% of fatal crashes occurred on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, suggesting that the majority of crashes took place within residential areas long after travelers had reached their destinations. There was a notable decline of 4.9% in the number of pedestrians who died on the roads compared to the previous year. However, driver fatalities increased from 24.2% to 26.9%. Passenger fatalities increased from 32.2% to 34.5%, while cyclist fatalities stood at 1%. The main cause of crashes were jaywalking, hit and run, speeding, overtaking onto oncoming traffic, wet and slippery surfaces, and tire bursts. We are encouraged to know that fewer minibus vehicles were involved in fatal crashes over this period. Minibus vehicles accounted for 8.2% of fatal crashes compared to 11.1% in the previous year. We have noted with concern that the heavy vehicles had an increased contribution to fatal crashes. Heavy vehicles with a gross vehicle mass greater than 35 kilograms were involved in 5.2% of fatal crashes compared to 3.7% last year. Articulated trucks were involved in 4.7% of fatal crashes compared to 4.9% previously. Light delivery vehicles accounted for 24.6% of fatalities compared to 22.2% in the previous year, while motorcycles accounted for 1.9% compared to 0% in the previous year. The overwhelming number of vehicles involved in fatal crashes are sedans and station wagons, which accounted for 51.4% of fatal crashes compared to 51.9% last year. Across all 9 provinces, we recorded a decline in fatalities, with the exception only of Mpumalanga, where there was an increase of 4.4% with 141 fatalities compared to 135 in 2019-2020. The decline was therefore in 8 out of 9 provinces. Overall, we recorded a total of 1,448 fatalities from 1,210 fatal crashes. This represents a 7% decline in fatalities and 10.3% decline in fatal crashes year on year. We are encouraged that these reductions make a positive contribution towards the realization of our target of reducing fatalities on our roads. The breakdown of fatalities per province is as follows. Western Cape recorded a decline of 15.9% with 132 fatalities compared to 157 in 2019-2020. KwaZulu-Natal recorded a decline of 14% with 289 fatalities compared to 336 in 2019-2020. Limpopo recorded a decline of 8.3% with 188 fatalities compared to 205 in 2019-2020. Northern Cape recorded a decline of 7.7% with 36 fatalities compared to 39 in 2019-2020. Gauteng recorded a decline of 7.2% with 231 fatalities compared to 249 in 2019-2020. Northwest recorded a decline of 2.0% with 99 fatalities compared to 101 in 2019-2020. Eastern Cape recorded a decline of 1.3% with 228 fatalities compared to 231 in 2019-2020. Free State recorded a decline of 0.9% with 107 fatalities compared to 108. Mpumalanga recorded an increase of 4.2% with 141 fatalities compared to 135 2019-2020. The following roads accounted for the highest number of crashes and fatalities. N3 near Harrismith, KwaZulu-Natal, which proved that people, despite the fact that the beaches were closed and everything else, they taught KwaZulu-Natal heavily. N2 near Itutswa, Eastern Cape. N1 near Modimolle, Limpopo. R37, Mecklenburg, Limpopo. N12 near Potchefstroom, Northwest. It is worth noting that the R71 near Mankweng has dropped from the number one spot to number nine, pointing the success of the road safety campaign in Limpopo. That's where we launched the campaign. The R537 Moloto Road, which is notorious for road crashes and fatalities, does not appear in the top 20 of hazardous routes this year. Easter framework plan to reduce crashes. While we have ended on a positive note, and many people still died, those hundreds that are accounted for, as much as we record a decline, one life is still too many. The numbers, in my view, are still too high. There is nothing to celebrate. Our people are dying on the roads, and we still need to continue to sharpen our spears in bringing down the numbers. We are, however, cognizant that our road safety campaign runs for 365 days, even 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. Plans to prepare for the Easter peak travel period are therefore already underway and on continuous refinement to respond to known and anticipated as well as any emerging risks. The Easter plans are based on influencing the driver to make the correct decisions and obey the rules of the road by providing platforms to educate and report unsafe roads usage, implementing effective law enforcement interventions in collaboration with other authorities. As it is already known, the Easter season is characterized by high pilgrims and holiday travels patterns. We don't expect that this year because the variant and the COVID-19, it looked like it will still be with us. So we don't expect huge pilgrims in terms of churches, but we expect high travel volumes for people who will be holidaying as well during this period. This results in high traffic movements to places of worship and holiday destinations. KwaZulu-Natal being the key holiday destination for our renowned coastline, therefore anticipate another busy Easter long weekend, Freedom Day and Workers' Day long weekend. We therefore expect an influx of holiday makers from 27 April to 5th May 2021, as well as the long weekend of Workers' Day, which commences on 30th April to 2nd May 2021. Most tourist services and attractions are open over these holidays. In addition, most city shopping centers, restaurants and entertainment venues remain open. Enforcement and road safety awareness plans are in place to respond to these high risk patterns and ensure reduction of road deaths and serious injury over this period. Anticipated impact of coronavirus in these travel patterns. Like I said, there is a significant amount of people who work from home, working remotely, which on its own lessens the volume of traffic on the roads. The anticipation is that there will be less vacation trips undertaken in 2021 with the anticipation of the third wave soon to follow. Coronavirus has caused anxiety in some communities, which will result in people staying at home, and that will affect the travel patterns in different ways. For instance, there will be less holiday makers as well as pilgrims compared to the other past year. What do we plan to do this Easter? Lessons from 2020 Easter patterns will serve as intelligence to manage Easter of 2021 effectively, especially from the COVID-19 related regulations. From 20 March to 3 May 2020, the Easter landscape showed that there was 50% reduction from 114 fatalities of 2019 Easter to 86 fatalities of 2020. And this was during hard lockdown period. The main focus on Easter will be on driver and pedestrian behavior, influenced through the use and employment of informed educational awareness campaigns. The enforcement focal areas will be on alcohol, loads, management overloading, public transport high visibility, mobile testing stations and moving violations, increased enforcement on major corridors and border posts like Bait Bridge, Lebombo and Masiri. Operations during the 2021 Easter period will be executed according to the phases discussed and planned with SAPS, Road Traffic Management Corporation and other law enforcement agencies in all provinces. The critical factors that underpin the Easter plan, among others but not limited to, will include the following. Compulsory stopping of public passenger transport vehicles in order to address fatigue as well as vehicle and driver fitness. Moving offenses and poor driver judgment and destructive driving. Overspeeding, increased enforcement on major corridors and border posts like Bait Bridge, Lebombo, Maseru. Drinking and driving pedestrian safety, high visibility, mobile testing stations, and moving violations. The execution of the Easter plan will be in phases and approach in a phased fashion. The safety lead agency of the department, RTMC, is in the process of consultation with the implementing agencies in provinces to iron out the Easter plan and consolidate it for implementation. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, the Honorable Minister. We appreciate the fact that you had to juggle between the meetings, and by the time you leave, we'll gladly allow you to vanish to other meetings. Let me just check before I allow members to engage on this presentation whether the DG wants to augment, say something. And Adam Remy?
Thank you very much. Good morning to you, to the honorable members, and good morning to the minister, and also to all colleagues that are on the platform this morning. I believe minister has really went to town and has covered the bulk of what is in the presentation, and it's succinctly covered. The only thing that's really not there is the part about the future and where we are going with the this program, but in essence, the minister has covered everything, and I think in the jealousy of time, if the chair agrees, we can then take the minister's notes and presentation.
Thank you very much, honorable members. There is a presentation from the department done by the honorable minister by himself. Let me see hands. The first two hands, three hands, and that will be all. It's Friday today, so we don't have mercy.
Can note my hand, my fella.
Myself also. Chair.
Okay, let me know.
Just take note of my hand also.
I'm noting. Okay, thank you very much, honorable members. So it will be honorable Hunsinga, followed by honorable Mangu, followed by honorable Sithole, followed by honorable Mapena, and the last one will be honorable Chabango. That will be the last one. Thank you very much, honorable Onsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, Minister, and good morning, DG, and also all the staff from the department. Thank you for the report, Minister. However, I'm curious, Minister, and I'm asking you, is there any reason why you engage with Parliament's main portfolio committee in dealing with traffic, roads, road safety, and your role in road safety in getting to us in the last instance? The report was released weeks ago, and you only address the Portfolio Committee of Parliament around this now. Is there any reason why you come to us last? Minister, I am also curious around the continuous measurement of progress, given that years ago, around 2011, 2020, we had the Arrive Alive campaigns where there was an objective to reduce road fatalities with 50% by 2015. Now, we've passed that without any major announcements around achievements and objectives achieved. And on the 29th of March, 4 years ago, that was in 2017, Cabinet approved the National Road Safety Strategy 2016-2030, also then with the objective to reduce road fatalities with 50% based on 2010 levels. Now, we've seen RTMC increase tremendously in the capacity of collecting data. To what measure has that data led to improved strategy comparing the different road safety plans? My next question, Chairperson, is a very specific one. Statistically, comparing us to the rest of the world and also looking at fatalities as road fatalities as one of the causes of death, it still remains the ninth leading cause of fatalities of death. And particular age groups, the age group 20 to 34 are the leading victims. Please to acknowledge the fact that there are less pedestrians killed where they are always the majority in the vicinity of 30 to 35%. But my concern, Minister, are children. In a recent report, children are about 1,300 on average are killed in crashes. What legislation are you considering to improve the situation specifically with regards to children as a category of crash fatalities? My fourth question relates to our aspiration and what you mentioned frequently, Minister, which I greatly support, your program of getting freight on rail rather than on road. Now, a monthly snapshot of cargo flows on a year-to-year comparison suggests that domestic air cargo flows currently stands at about 80%, international cargo flows about 65%, vehicle cargo at around 70%, maritime break bulk at about 56%, liquid bulk at about 80%, dry bulk in the 90s, and containers at just around 80%. All of which then indicate a major volume of cargo landing at terminals for exchange clearance and handling, but I don't see any plans of rail connecting to those terminals. In what way are you engaging with other departments, and what plans are there to actually connect rail to these cargo concentration points? Because all I see is an increase of trucks and a higher frequency of traffic flow of cargo. And what I also observe is less cargo being handled on rail. My first question of the sixth chairperson is around passenger road transport. And sadly, Minister, you have received and acknowledged my letter around Greyhound buses in relation to long distance passenger traveling. That Greyhound sadly had its last day of business earlier this week. And I would like to know what the plans are, because the absence of buses transporting passengers over longer distance in volume suggests an absence of a very important need and a very important segment of our passenger long distance transport. So firstly, Minister, have you engaged with Greyhound, because you haven't replied on my request around this? What is your planning and future of long distance passenger transport? And would you just simply leave it so that taxis fill the gap and also cause higher frequency of vehicles on our roads? Last question, Chairperson, relates to the important element of road condition, road maintenance backlog, and the condition of our roads as a major cause for crashes, but then especially this related to budget, Minister. The combined road network of our 9 provinces are in excess of 237,000 kilometers. This compared to SANRAL roads of 21,000 kilometers. The budget increase over the past 5 years have seen that the 9 provinces, 237,000 kilometers, have increased with only 5 billion rand, whereas the 21,000 kilometers in the responsibility of SANRAL have increased with 15 billion. So, Minister, my direct question to you, will you be looking at fixing this skewed budget allocation, or will this disparity increase where we will see greater increases for SANRAL, who has less roads to look at than the provinces and the municipalities of the country? Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Unsinga. May you please lower your hand now that you have spoken. Thank you for your cooperation. Jambas.
Morning, Slalo. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, very interesting, you'll see that I've removed my spectacles. When you go to these eye specialists, when you leave, it seems like everything is too bright. So I don't know what happened. Good morning, Minister. I saw Deputy Minister also, and colleagues, honorable members, good morning. Thank you so much for the presentation. It's a pity that I thought the Minister was reading his speaking notes, because there are things that were in the presentation that one was hoping that you'll touch on. I thought the presentation that we were sent will also be taken through it. Of course, he did touch on many aspects there. So I might have to take long because I'm going through that presentation. But I think I am very reluctantly sharing the excitement of the Honorable Minister of any reduction of road traffic accidents. Yes, if you look at it technically and look at numbers raw as they are without putting them in context, you might think that there is a reduction. Why am I saying so? The figures given to us do not give us a good comparison to tell us what was the increase, for instance, in vehicle population. What was the increase, for instance, in new drivers on the roads? Because that gives you a very good indication to be able to compare apples to apples. Now, if you just look at the end figure, it just doesn't give you a proper picture. Now, in the presentation, or before I even go there, we will note that there's been a generic increase of 3% in terms of vehicle population across the country. That could obviously need to be juxtaposed with what the perceived decrease in accidents is, because all these things feed into the other one. Now, when we look at the type of vehicles that have contributed a certain percentage to the crashes, fatal or not, we need to know what were those numbers of the vehicles in terms of increase on the road. Then that gives us a proper picture as a portfolio committee. It also gives us a proper scope of where to do our oversight when we are doing oversight. But just raw figures and reduction doesn't really assist. So as a sidebar and a proposal, we would really appreciate that when we are given the next presentation, we are given it in context of some of the things that I'm highlighting. And I'm sure the RTMC has done it before, and that information is there. Now, if you look at the presentation, one of the things that the minister raises of the crashes is the whole issue of human factors that are accounting to a large percentage of crashes, deaths, whatever you want to say. That has been the punchline for as long as I can remember and I've been involved in road safety. The question is, and this is yet another proposal that we would like to see as we go forward, what are the specific targeted interventions to address that? It's well and good to tell us that the biggest percentage is the human factor. We can break down human factor to different categories, but let's leave it as human factor. What are the specific interventions that are being implemented? Then we are able to measure at the end of the day that these particular interventions that are seeking to address human factor, as we have identified it as a major contributor, are yielding the results. That will give us a good way of measuring really is there success or not. Now, if you go back to 2015-2016 report that was given, 73.6% were said to be human factors. Now, Minister, if 73.6 factors in 2015-2016, and in 2016-17, it was 79.1%. It tells you that they should have been focused in that area. By now, we should be zooming into that area and be able to say, these are the real issues that are there. Now, we appreciate, we welcome the number of vehicles stopped on the roads and all those things. But we can't link them directly to saying this is how they have contributed to the reduction of accidents. Now, If you go very quickly to the percentage of road crashes per day of week, nothing has changed. It's the same story. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The bigger question is, what are the interventions to address that? Then when we measure, we can say, this is what we put in, and this is the results that we're getting. It's the same. It has not changed. We can go back to 2015, 2016. Nothing has changed in terms of that. Sunday picks up to be the most problematic thing. And again, if you look at the times of the night or the day that the minister alluded to, exactly the same thing. The question is, are we doing the same thing all over again and expecting different results? That is what I'm seeing. And it is clear, colleagues, that you can never do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. It doesn't work. It really doesn't work. And I don't think it will work now. Now, those are the 26% of crashes between 1800 and 21%. If you go and look at a picture of 2015, 2016, although it doesn't give me percentage, it's more or less exactly the same at those times. Now, the downside now is that we even have lockdown restrictions. Tells you something is not being done properly, because at least these ones should have contributed to that. I am saying, Minister and honorable colleagues, it doesn't seem to me we are making a difference. We are telling ourselves we are making a difference, but it doesn't look so. We welcome, obviously, the 365 days action. We welcome all these. But what we didn't hear today is what we heard many years ago, that law enforcement now is going to be 24/7. And is it happening? If it is happening, what difference is it making at the end of the day? As I said, we welcome the traffic fines that have been issued. You know, when you talk traffic fines, honorable minister and colleagues, it's another thing to issue a traffic fine. Most of these traffic fines are either cancelled by courts in the case of a Section 56 North Arto. Others are reduced. Others people go to. So there are many variables. Again, another suggestion. I think it's number 3, if not number 4. Can we know if 20,000 fines were issued, how many of them were reduced? The fine, how many were paid in full, how many were ignored, and warrants of arrest have been issued, how many of those warrants have been executed. Then you have the total picture. You know, unless we are chasing numbers, you know, how many people, because if you chase numbers, you find traffic officers going to a graveyard and writing fines there, and you come there. What is most interesting in the presentation, 13,311 were worn out tires. I asked in this committee a few months ago, is the department doing anything about tires? Because tires are a problem. And I will not comment on the response that I got. I think colleagues remember. Now, 2016, 2017, 2015, 2016, 74%. We were told were tire bursts or defective tires which preceded a road crash. And that accounted to 12,858 fines, apparently, that were issued, or those were vehicle factors. The question is, what has been the intervention? Because I will tell you exactly how many tires were a problem in 2015, 2016. They contributed to 74%. They say it was a tire burst prior to an accident, contributed to 74%. Now brakes faulty and so forth. It tells you that there is a need to focus there. How many interventions have we made? And the reason I raised this thing some months back is that we have seen a proliferation of second-hand tires being sold everywhere. And I think that day the response I got was second-hand goods, eggs, and so forth. But the reality is that these tires are being sold. And we are going to see more and more of these tires because people's pockets are being hard hit by COVID. Again, can we have a strategy? I think it's my proposal, suggestion number 5, of what is the intervention to deal with secondhand tires that we are seeing all over the case happening there. Now, if we look at, road safety education and awareness, I think most of the time, at least we just hear it mentioned, I've not really heard what are the interventions and what are the programs around road safety. My proposal again going forward, can we please have a comprehensive discussion, stroke presentation report on what are the education interventions that are being made. We can be able to see are they producing results or not. There is an issue about visibility, pedestrians, and so forth. I mean, we all know, colleagues, that pedestrians are a problem. And again, the figures in front of us don't tell us, or at least they don't tell me, what are the interventions that we are doing. And I can go back to 2015, 2016, 16, 17. You will find exactly the same story. But what is very, very interesting, when you go to fatal crashes per province, is that the presentation notes that the Western Cape has seen the best reduction or the best result, which we need to congratulate them. But an observation is that in the Western Cape, at least subject to correction, this is where the National Traffic Police are not welcome. They are welcome everywhere. And so it is obvious in my view, at least, that the National Traffic Police is not making an impact. If where they are not welcome, if my assertion is correct, there is a reduction of accidents, it means something is being done there. And that you can see, for instance, if you look at the roadblocks that were conducted, the Western Cape, I think, have done the most. The Northwest, where the minister mentioned, has done the least, if anything, but there's National Traffic Police. The question is, Minister, is the National Traffic Police making any impact on road safety in this country? My theory is that no, they are not. But they are increasing the tensions and the burden on the fiscals. Why am I saying so? That takes me to another proposal. I would like to see if the National Traffic Police has, because the only statistic I would see that reflects the National Traffic Police, yeah, where the discontinued or use, they call them TUs, of vehicles, that's where the only contribution I could see of the National Traffic Police. I would like to know what was the cost. What was the cost that was incurred by the, remember where they go, they are always provincial or local authority enforcement officers already. So where they've gone, I would like to know, that is the proposal, I've lost count, how much is it costing us for traffic, National Traffic Police, to go to province Y and conduct Operation Z, so that we can be able to compare again, is it value for money? Now, you will notice that there's no traffic, National Traffic Police account. And the reason, I believe, is because that they are unable to issue fines in other provinces where there is no ARTO legislation. So they can only do drunken driving, they can only do the discontinued notices that can be recorded. But at what cost? At what cost is that being happening? Whereas there is already establishments that are there. And I have raised this question before. But my concrete proposal is that I would like us, if the chairperson agrees, that we get a presentation of what is it costing the NTP to go wherever they are going. We can see the output thereof in terms of accidents and everything and see if there is value for money. I've spoken to fatalities per day of week. As I've said, it's exactly the same story, but we would like to see what is the specific intervention as it relates to that. Now, we spoke about roads that are problematic. And these roads have been mentioned, the minister listed them, but I want to take three provinces and roads. One, the Limpopo N1. 2017, there were 38 crashes and 22 fatalities. And if you look at the figures that are there, I'm not sure if there's a reduction. Eastern Cape N2, Eastern Cape R61. These are the three that I can pick up only and highlight now. And again, if we would be able to be assisted, what are the targeted enforcement or targeted interventions in these areas? The minister mentions road conditions, and I know that I could take you on detail, you know, on everything. On the road conditions was also mentioned in 2016-17 as one of the major problems, you know, slippery road, wet slippery road. It contributed to a huge percentage. Again, I would like us to be told, that's another proposal. What are the interventions that have been made in those particular areas in particular? So I can go on, and this is exactly why I said I do not share, unfortunately, given what I've said, the fact that if we were to compare apples to apples, the condition under which, as the minister said, the officers were working, locked down, that we can really celebrate anything. But if you look at the raw figures without really taking them and critically look at them, we can, yes, celebrate. If that is the celebration, I join that celebration. Vehicles stopped and checked. Again, I would like to know, in these vehicles stopped and checked, what were the major things that were found? You know, I read a very horrible statistic that most of the vehicles that were discontinued in the Eastern Cape, I think in particular on Tata, most of them were back on the road. And the question is, how effective is this? And I'm highlighting it in particular because it's the only statistic, at least in this presentation, that is attributed to the National Traffic Police. Nowhere else do we know what has been the National Traffic Police. But I can tell you, you will see them speeding a lot on the roads. You will see them going everywhere else. But if we see at the numbers here, I don't see the numbers except the discontinued vehicles on what is in front of us. So I would like, when we get another presentation, to be told exactly of the vehicle stops, what were the critical interventions? Because remember, our target is to reduce crashes and deaths. So if any other thing we are doing cannot be directly linked or correlated to accidents, then it's a vanity project. It's really a vanity project. I mean, yes, I think those slides then tend to repeat quite a lot. That is going to quite happen. What is also very interesting, if you look at the statistics of many years ago, is that June seems to be a problem that is second to December in terms of road fatalities. I would like to invite the minister's comment if my observation is correct. If it is correct that June even has got more problems than Easter, what is then being done to address that? And well, in terms of the Easter program, I know Easter is around and the minister highlighted it. I would like, as they said on the presentation, that a detailed plan of action, which I hope will address the things that I'm addressing, will be submitted to us. And I would like, Chair, before we finish, to have a specific date and time, or at least a date when we will be receiving this plan of action, so that we can be able to attend to it and deal with it at the time that it comes. Chairperson, thank you so much for indulgence. As I said before, that I had to go through this presentation and draw these parallels, but I thank you once more. I hope my proposals have been captured as to what we would like to see as a portfolio, because it's easy for me to lament here, yeah? But I think I've made concrete suggestions of the areas where we would like to have sight of and will be able to do proper oversight. Chairperson, thank you.
Chambers, siyabonga mfowethu. Akunikeza ufana nawe lapha imike, igama lakhe uMondise. Siyabonga Chambers. Yena Mondise.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And first of all, Chairperson, I'm worried because I was expecting that we are going to get a full presentation, but things that have happened, as it happened, we can, nothing that we can say now. And I think, Chairperson, that I'm worried is that our department and our minister don't take us seriously. Because most of their problems and the information from the department, we just see it on Twitter. We say it does sit on Twitter or on paper, but there is nothing that has been sent to us as the portfolio committee. That's my concern, Chairperson. But I think now, Chairperson, there's something that I'm trying to check, because some of my questions have been covered by Honorable Mang. The first one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check is the increase of driver fatalities. Because if you can check that one, it was 24%, but it is increased to 26.9%. And the passenger fatalities increased from 32.2% to 34.5%. What I'm trying to check there, Chairperson, what mechanism or system do they have in place? So what input are the department have for dealing with that increase of drivers fatalities? And the other Chairperson is that the highest number of crash in the provinces. If you check there is the province of KZN N3 and Idu, N2, N1, Ibombo, and N12 Northwest. But that's what I'm trying to check, if they can give us the breakdown per N, N3, N2, N1, and N12. How many crashes have happened and when was those crashes happened? And the other Chairperson is that one of the strategy, road safety strategy, which was 2011 to 2022. I'm worried, Chairperson, because we don't have a proper an informative result on the good result of that strategy. If the department can give us the improvement after that strategy, and what are the mission of the department on those strategies? Because it doesn't actually seem that we have those information. And the other Chairperson is the system that of the department. What is the system do the department have to deal with the issue of potholes? Because most of accidents that are happening or crashes that are happening is because of potholes. Go to Mpumalanga, go to KwaZulu-Natal and see how many crashes have happened because of potholes. So now, Chairperson, if the department just wishing what they want to achieve, but they don't give us a concrete actually implementation and the results of that implementation. And the other one, Chairperson, I'm worried about that one of the fine. I think the Honorable Mangu touched on it. If they can give us how many fines have been paid per province, how many fines have been paid per province out of all those fines that have been issued? And the last one, Chairperson, is the education system. If the department can give us the education system that they have to deal with the issue of pedestrians, for the issue of pedestrians, because if you check most of the accidents that are happening is because it's through pedestrians, because people are walking drunks, and there's a lot of things that is happening. Some of them are just jumping the highways, so which is actually is very dangerous what's happening there. And the last one, so now the last one, chairperson, that I'm trying to check now is that when are they going to combine all the implementation and the results and submit it to our portfolio committee? If that one can have a time frame of that. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Comrade Chair, can I say something? Because I've apologized.
Okay, Honorable Minister, yes, you can say something.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Before I'm accused of disrespect, I honestly think that it's unfair. I honestly think it's unfair. Yes, criticism can be leveled. I must never be accused of disrespecting Parliament. I don't take it kind. I go out of my way. Members can be whatever that day, but disrespect is the last thing. I honestly don't. I don't. I've never absconded from this Parliament. You can disagree with me and my methods and everything. Disrespect, I don't agree. Chair, if members of Parliament want me, before I go to public about the statistics, I found this culture here, say so. I don't just tweet statistics because I'm having fun on Twitter. I'm using my own personal Twitter account. And the department is using its own Twitter account about the statistics. If you want me, before I release the statistics in January, when you are still at home, wait for you to open Parliament and then present here, say so. Because I present statistics in January before the school kids and the factories are opening, I present statistics. If now you want me as a minister to present the statistics to Parliament before I go, I'm prepared to comply, colleagues and honorable members. I'm prepared to comply with that. There is no such a rule. Before I became a minister, I came here. Statistics are released long before Parliament is open in January. And that is it. If now you say I must wait, it is now February, after Valentine's Day. I must wait for that period, come to Parliament first, I will do it. Don't worry about it. I take into consideration all the suggestions that are made and everything that is building, because this is an important thing. It has got an impact on a whole range of things in terms of the economy of the country and the discussion we have even about RAF and all of that. I'm going to leave the DG. I've asked for apology. I'm going to leave the DG and the Deputy Minister to fill up all your questions, which are very, very constructive, and I welcome them. And I don't think it's criticism. It's constructive input. And the parallels you are drawing are very important to build our case in this matter. And I've never come to Parliament and get such a rich input on road. We have said last year, Honorable Hansinger, we set ourselves a 10% target, and we achieved that. This year we set ourselves 20%, and we have not achieved that. And I think the DG must dwell into that, but equally as a minister and my team, I take this, and when I come back to Parliament, Chair, I should be able to respond in detail on some of the things Honorable Manu, and I think he has taken time to deal with that. I'm sorry about the presentation that you didn't get it in advance. I will check that, Honorable Member. We have just spoken now. I'm not aware, because I thought that before we come here, our staff and everybody would have circulated the presentation to Honorable. If that has not happened, I wish to apologize to Honorable Members and ensure that that does not happen. And if that is the first time I hear that we don't give you documentation on time,
And I think we will take that into heart and address that. But this is not the first time we come to Parliament and address this matter. But nonetheless, I wish to thank members and apologize, because we've got another meeting that coincides with this. And I left another meeting for this meeting. So I've never come to a point where that the minister, myself, I'm disrespectful to the portfolio committee. If there is such, I think we will have to discuss it. Thank you, Chair.
Minister, thank you. We wish you a fruitful day. We will continue to engage on this issue. But one issue before you leave, so that we are all aware of it, we do have a presentation. That is why all members are quoting what they are quoting. That is why Honorable Manu has gone into details, because the presentation we got on time, at least. The rest, we will deal with them after we have taken all the questions, but we wish you well. Yeah, have a good day. Thank you. Asimtholeke umhlonishwa. Sithokoze umhlonishwa. Umabhele.
Sithokoze Chairperson. Yeah, I don't know ukuthi mhlambe ngibe ngikhuluma nje uMinister Sela Khambile ukuthi imbuzo yami ufika kuhle endebeni zakhe ngendlela le mina ngizobeya ngakhona Marisilapho. Good morning to all colleagues, members of the portfolio committee, and the department, the DG, Honorable Mr. Alec Muyenu. But before I just start, Chair, I just would like to acknowledge the DG, Alec Muyenu. There was an issue which we're dealing with at the OR Tambo International Airport. And I contacted him very late into the night, and the DG responded positively. And I even apologized, hey, DG, no one. Sorry, man, to contact you at this time of the night, and I was more than willing to indulge. No. Please do engage me as and when I'm available. So I would like to acknowledge that I'm not praising a fish for swimming, Chair. But I think sometimes we must not only dwell on the negative, we must also acknowledge the positive. Chairperson, these are some of my questions. Number one, we're talking about road safety. In terms of road safety, there is an element of road safety which has always been almost neglected or almost been overlooked. Let's look into the agricultural sector. Workers, especially farm workers, are transported on the back of lorries, of buggies. If you drive in some of these farmlands, you see that some of the tractors, they've connected some sort of carriers which are carrying people. And the carnage in that sector is so high. And as far as I'm concerned, what I want to check is, do these statistics factor in even that road carnage? Because as it is now, people are dying, farm workers are dying. There is a legislation gap which is there. The legislation currently covers people who are transported on the back of lorries, those who are paid. But an employer and employee type of relationship has not been factored in into that legislation. What is the department and the minister doing? Because that is a road safety. People are dying. Farm workers are dying. And those people are the people that are ensuring our food security. But now, what has the department done in terms of addressing this issue? And there is a legislation gap which is there. What is the department doing to plug that legislation gap? Not only that, in the Western Cape provincial government, there's a task team which was set up to specifically deal with that. But that task team has not had any positive engagement from the National Department of Transport. Why is that? Why are you not taking up the suggestions and even the potential solutions of that task team? Not only that, the department can make their own contribution into that task team, positive contributions, which will lead to us protecting the farm worker, to us protecting the people who are securing our food in this country. And It is about time that we take it as well. That is another road safety issue which we do not at all seem to worry about. We only worry about people who are going on Easter, road crashes there, people who are holidaying, the number of people. That is important. But can we specifically look at this sector? My second question, Chairperson, is on the entry, the track touches. You know, sometimes when you speak to people, sometimes they answer you with just a need to answer, but they don't answer sometimes with what you are asking. One, tracks are attached on the infrastructure of this department, which is the Department of Transport. This is economic sabotage, yes. Is this an intelligence issue? Well, to some extent, yes, it is an intelligence issue. Is this an SAPS issue? Yes, it is an SAPS issue. But in the main, the infrastructure which these trucks are being touched at the Department of Transport, has there been any engagement whatsoever with these other departments in terms of charting a way forward? Or is SAPS, the intelligence, are they working in silos and the department is not being informed? If the department is not being informed, what has the department done about it? If the department has been informed, what has been the progress? What is happening? Because now, that infrastructure as well, every time a truck is being touched, where does that truck bend? That, and with these rains now, it becomes a potential hazard for developing potholes. What I'm asking is, what is the engagement? At what level is that engagement? What is the department getting and what is the progress? Can the department give us a progress report as far as that, as it relates to that? Now, my third question to the person is, there was, how many vehicles, I saw the minister there, as Honorable Stone was saying on Twitter, posting so many vehicles which they had procured and bought. How many of those vehicles for law enforcement have been requested to the provincial authorities and the local authorities? If maybe we can be given a breakdown. Now, my first question is here. R573. You see, if you listen to SABC Radio, the Department of Transport runs, well, let me not say the Department of Transport, but SANRAL runs so many advertisements to the tune of hundreds of thousands of rents, if not millions of rents, where they tell you about the improvements we've put. Circles, we've closed roads which were illegal, which were leading into the onto R573. But can I tell you something? All the roads that Sandra claims to have closed, those roads have been reopened. And also, the millions of rands which were investing on R573, the road carnage is not going down. Now, can we be given any report whatsoever? Ever since you started pouring millions on R573, one thing that I can tell you, the road carnage has not gone down. They simply gone up on that road stretch, leading from R568 going on to the R573. My last question, Chairperson, is the conditional grant which the department also gives to provinces in terms of maintenance of roads, and the project there. What I want to check is, because in terms of the monitoring mechanism, what is the project completion rate of road maintenance per province of the grants that the department has given to these provincial authorities? If you say you've given province Y, or say you've given Mpumalanga 100 rands to fix and maintain roads, of that 100 rand, how many projects have they successfully completed in terms of road maintenance and making sure that those roads have actually been maintained? And has the department been to the site where these projects are claimed to be being executed in this province? What is the project completion rate? And what is the progress in as far as those provinces are concerned, and in terms of the return on investment, because potholes are all over. Some of these provincial roads are simply not present. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mhlonishwa. Masithokoze. Masithathe ungwane. Honorable Thabantu.
Thank you, Chair. Though I'm going to speak after the departure of the minister.
The deputy minister is still here.
Yeah, but I trust that the deputy minister and the DG are here. They are going to listen attentively.
Yes.
It seems as if COVID-19 pandemic has helped a lot with regard to road deaths. But we cannot rely on COVID-19 because, on the other hand, it is killing many citizens of the road. What mechanism are we going to put in place in order to keep the statistics of death of road as low as possible, Minister or Deputy Minister? The level of roadworthiness leaves much to be desired. Are you intending to intensify our testing station in the near future in order to maintain or keep the roadworthiness of our roads, of our cars, in fact? The problematic road, which is N3 near Harrismith, is a cause for concern. How is the department intending to remedy the problem of high road accidents near Harrismith in the Free State? Are we going to build a free flow way near Van Rienen Pass, which is mountainous area? Or are we going to leave it as it is and always report that entry is in Harrismith is a killer road because it's killing our own blood? Minister or Deputy Minister and the DG, the Muloto Corridor is killing our citizens. They are dying on a daily basis on this corridor, which is at present regarded as a white elephant. We are from there with the oversight visit. The people are really not happy about the snail pace that the department is moving with. When is this matter, Deputy Minister, going to be attended to and be put in rest? Our people are dying. Let us serve them with dignity. I thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last hand I noted. May I, at this moment in time, allow the Deputy Minister, Dumela, Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, are you here? Okay. Cookie?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, me.
The DM was connected, Chairperson. I'm just looking at the participants now. I saw her name earlier, but maybe she might be disconnected. I'm going to call her and find out. Okay, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. DG?
Chair, thank you very much. And thank you for all the inputs that have been made. Chairperson, allow me to answer to some of the questions that have been raised and to help clarify some of them and to also indicate which ones we would have to repackage information as it has been requested and to bring it forth to Parliament. Honourable Chair, the issue about the role and space of taxis is what we are reviewing now as part of our process of formalization of taxis and in bringing them into speed, and also the idea around actually subsidizing the taxis. We are having roundtables with the Treasury discussing formulas and how this can be done. Also the direct as well as the indirect subsidization ways in which can be employed. And so our exploratory meetings have now moved to a summer base where we are now writing a working paper on this matter, and we would involve also the tech industry in that regard. Part of the review process is the concern Honorable Hunsinger raises about taxis playing space that they ought not to be playing if you compare how transport systems are designed globally and in other countries. And I think it is a matter that is at our purview. It's not an easy matter. It's not going to be easy to deal with it, but we are committed that the groundwork for it must be laid and that we must start with, marching in that regard. On the issue of the skewed budget for SANRAL vis-a-vis what provinces get, I think Honorable Hunsinger knows the challenges pertaining to this matter that, well, SANRAL is a national entity funded from the national fiscus, and the provinces do get a portion, which is the PRMG from us. But this is a conditional grant. The reason for it is that roads funding policy of our country constitutionally, it's a concurrent function, and if you look at the network that is not declared as national road network, that part of the network is actually part of the Schedule B and Part B of the constitution schedules. That gives them the responsibility directly to provinces. Certainly, provinces are expected to raise their own revenue, and the provincial treasuries are also expected to budget for roads. Be it as it may, as we may have seen, an unfortunate trend of where some provinces really budget quite minimally for roads and indicate to their provincial roads departments to say that the national is giving them money. But it must be clarified that the PRMG was never intended as a substitute for budgeting of roads properly within provinces. The PRMG is a maintenance grant to maintain an existing road network, but not of building new road network. That is a function of what an equitable budget of a province has got to do. And this has resulted in the skewness with what Honorable Hunsinger points out. So therefore, it's a matter for the NCOP to direct provinces and provincial treasuries in terms of how this is done. It's also a matter for Parliament through the Appropriations Committee and the Assembly as a whole in approving budgets to ensure that appropriately a budget at a provincial level are also appropriated in this regard, and not simply as representatives of the people to simply allow that the budgets must pass without necessarily certain core competencies and concurrent functions of provinces having not been provided for adequately. In as far as the issues Honorable Manu has raised, I can answer to some of them that he has raised. He's quite a mouthful, and the bulk of it, as Minister has pointed out, we take it apart, and we will look at some of the issues that he has raised and to look at in enhancing our presentation. I think that I had thought that he would be happy and not chastise us getting into the matter of tires, because the last time he raised it, he decried the fact that they are being sold as second-hand goods, but also said that he's not seeing the issue of tires coming strongly out of our presentation. And I had since instructed that our officials collect data on this matter and also make sure that it does come out in the presentation quite clearly. I have thought that he was going to applaud us that we have indeed now covered what he had raised previously, but it turned out quite differently in this regard.
Point of order, Chair. Point of order. Rule 82.
Yes, Honorable Man.
DG, yes, I appreciate that, but your presentation never said what did they contribute to the accident, you know, and but I appreciate that. But lastly, on a lighter note, it's always difficult to swim, I mean, to clap for a fish when it's swimming. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Man.
No, thanks, Chair. No, it has not been easy, first and foremost, collecting data. And I think we had attempted at all our multidisciplinary roadblocks to actually begin collecting data around the tires and to look at what we have picked up and also around accidents. And this has meant also a supplementary collection of data for purposes of accidents and also in review of the vehicles when we do accident reports for major accidents where fatalities have occurred, to also look at the tires and to look at the causes and that went to collect it in that regard. So we will keep on improving in this regard. I've had the other variables the Honorable Manu wants us to start collecting data around, particularly around the issue of the increase in the vehicle population in any given period, reporting period we're looking at. I think we can look at that and also the new drivers that are entering. But I think in order to balance it out, we'll also have to look at the deregistered and discontinued vehicles as well during the same corresponding period and also the exiting of drivers. And I think that the exiting of drivers is going to be quite a big challenge because in South African law, even a 110-year-old can still drive if they are still fit enough, and that could happen. And their licenses are issued for a validity period of 5 years. And even if in year three, they no longer are fit, we have no way of knowing until they take the test again. So I think it may be, but we will give projected figures in that regard just to balance it out to make sure that it's much more accurate in terms of its reflection in considering those percentages within context. And we welcome the wisdom of what he raised. But there are some of the things we have learned as lessons from the previous things, including what Honorable Manu say, that what has been the specific interventions and targeted interventions to mitigate against this factor. We can take one of the factors, which is it has been raised in the 2015-16 reporting period, and now, and the comparative analysis he has done on that front, and I can take the driver behavior. And I think since then, with the recognition of that, we didn't just let go and repeat, as he says, the same things over and over. We proposed new measures. One of them was the introduction of ARTO, which was proposed in the 2016-17 period. And since then, we have been working hard on it to get to where we are today, where ARTO has now been signed into law, and the implementation and rollout of its core functions, about 60% of the law, starting in July this year. And we also have begun the issue of provision for overtime in order for us to police. And now I'm touching on the issue that he raised around the issue of availability of personnel on a 24/7 basis. We have introduced Operation 24/7, and we have been assisting from a national level by providing resources to the poorer provinces and subsidizing their overtime to allow for their own officials to be deployed within this, and also to supplement their efforts where typically, even if the National Traffic Police was not there, provincial traffic officers together with municipal officers will be overwhelmed by what needs to be done. So the NTP must therefore be seen within that context of a supplementary as well as a targeted and operations leader in this regard. The other matters around pedestrians and all of that, I think our messaging has improved a lot around pedestrians, our strategies of reaching out to areas, because we have made a greater link around the jaywalkers as well as those that actually, after being hit by a vehicle, we realized that they were also have consumed alcohol. This has been our key focus on those two categories of the pedestrians. And as you may have seen, the percentage now, if you do the same comparison, Honorable Manu, of the 2015-16 for cyclists, and you do it today, you now get to see how the so-called 1.5-meter rule and the provision of cycling lanes in cities where this has been prevalent, because cyclists have not necessarily been bumped a lot at national highways and all of those. It has been largely cities and city spaces and all of that, and rural areas. If you make the comparison, you will see a significant improvement in that space. Therefore, for pedestrians, the issue of distribution of reflector bands and messaging they are getting, like what we did in December, of going to pubs and bars where we know that most of the people gather, and targeting the areas where they actually imbibe this waters that leads to so many challenges we have. We have been focused at that space. Is it enough? Can we do better? We believe certainly we can. Some of the things you may have known, that now most of the high accident zones are marked, warning motorists that they are now entering an area where this is the case. And we have also put up signboards on our national road network, particularly where these accident zones have been indicated and where the issue of weather and slippery roads have been the case. In Mpumalanga, as you approach Waterfall, you know that we have signage around persistent fog. We know that it is customary, particularly around the times of winter and all of those type of signage. The road signage is there, warning the motorists of the conditions, including the slippery roads. That has been a challenge, clearly, because the road may be in pristine condition, but it becomes dangerous once there has been a rain in the space. And the great thing is to warn motorists in advance and to let them know that they should slow down. In the same manner as the road gets dangerous, for instance, approaching the gate for heavy vehicles, we advise them to put on a low gear well in advance, about 10 kilometers away. And we start telling them where to slow down so that they can navigate the bends quite easier. So the warnings are there for the National Road Network. What is the biggest challenge in terms of signage, safety apparatuses, and all of this, the guardrails, parapets, and all of those things? We don't really see it a lot on the provincial roads and on the road network there. And the safety features are not as enhanced as we see on the National Road Network. And that's why we have revised, and we since 2019 are central to work with us on the improvement of the guide for provinces and the standards for road building and maintenance and things that needs to be included there too. And to that extent, this guide was finalized. It has been given to provinces. It has been workshopped twice now with the input of provinces, and we have now issued it out, and this now will form part of the new specifications that the provinces work on the basis of this matter. On the issue of the task team in the Western Cape, Honorable Mabena, the matter is taken through. I must tell you, I'm not aware that there is such a team. I've not been briefed about it, but I could find out what the issues are and what was required of us to do and follow it through. The issue of the trucks on the M3 and how they are bent, indeed you are correct, there has been engagements. We're working with the very sector departments you have highlighted, and we are engaging with them in this regard. We are led by the interministerial committee established by the cabinet, and the president had appointed the Minister of Labor to chair this issue as the biggest concerns of the South African drivers who are purportedly believed to be the people instigating or coordinating the banning of these trucks. Allegedly, it's the matter that they are complaining that why are they not being afforded opportunities and that foreign drivers are being sold. If you look at it, at the heart of it is a labor matter. But yes, we do acknowledge, and we have never shirked the responsibility to participate in this matter. As you say, that the area in which the crime happens is within our jurisdiction and on our roads, and therefore we must take keen interest in that regard. We have been assisted with this matter. We have engaged with police, with intelligence, with everybody. But with transport, we have been asked to look at refacilitation in this regard. Whatever decision is being made, which we transport have tabled in the SADC transport forum, and to look at the matters pertaining to the agreements around the exchange of drivers and the policies that others, because we do not apply uniform policies right across. And you'll also know that it pays for this truck owners as well as truck drivers to be registered elsewhere. Why? Because we South Africa, in terms of the CBRTA, we do not charge them the user charges for our roads coming to site, but South African owned trucks get to pay in those countries. So many of them open up a small headquarters in Zimbabwe or a small office in Zimbabwe, register the trucks that site, and therefore the trucks do not pay anywhere, neither on South African roads nor on the Zimbabwean side. We have agreed to reciprocate as well, and we have given notice to the Secretariat and the Transport Forum in this regard that we will reciprocate. We're working with the Treasury on corresponding user charges as well. This will now make sure that there is no place to hide, and therefore many of the people will be forced to be domiciled in South Africa, and once they are, then it means that they are the primary employers here, and therefore they will have to employ South Africans. All of these measures, we are working on them in response to what has been happening. But from a law enforcement point of view, I think you know that law enforcement does identify some of them, clamp down, but from time to time it keeps on flaring up. And the reason it flares up is that if the fundamentals of what they are complaining about are not attended to, the matter will not go away. And I think this is why I'm saying that we're putting it through to the other forums to make final decisions and determinations to resolve this matter. On the issue of the R573, I hear you, and I think we will develop and prepare such a detailed report and to indicate this. We'll also do a comparative analysis of the road carnage on the road, and also do an indication of the time lapse since the interventions began. But I must ask them to say that we are not done with the work on the Mloto road. We will have to continue on it going that way going forward. But nevertheless, when the portfolio committee is ready and invites us to make such a presentation, we will make it to the portfolio committee with ease, and we will cover most of the things that are being put across. On the issue of the conditional grants, we have improved on our monitoring of those grants. And yes, indeed, our departmental officials from roads have been visiting most of the sites to authenticate and to look at this. Our monitoring capacity was enhanced once Treasury gave us dedicated resources to enhance our monitoring capability. And we are following on this quite succinctly. And while it is not as best as it could be, but I have indicated already that we have issued a new manual and guidelines in terms of the road building as well as maintenance standards that provinces must now adhere to. And to that extent, we think that this is what will help us improve the conditions as Honorable Mavena puts it across. The issue of the farm worker death, we will pursue it. I will also try to source more information from you, Honorable Member, and we will look at what the issues are and take it forward in that regard. Honorable Shabangu, indeed, we would seek to intensify the work around roadworthiness. We have begun already. And if the chair agrees, I can just indulge you by showing you, Honorable Member, the what is on the screen in this regard. I'm not sure whether you can see it or not. That shows you what we have begun doing now, deployment of technology. We still use the 10-point system of 10-point check of a vehicle where traffic officer looks at the vehicle, asks you to indicate left, indicate right, switch bypass, looks at all of this, say switch off, switch on, and all that, then go around the car and say apply your brakes and so on. But that's still being done in the absence of any other methods available in many of the municipalities, but we have begun capacitating provinces, and this is what we, through the RTMC, and we fought for this money. We were given the initial 176 million by the Treasury, and we began procuring some of this mobile testing station. And now, things that we can't test with the checkpoint check, we test them with these stations. This now will look at brake power and braking ability. We'll look at how well the shocks are and measures that and issues an instant report. So if a vehicle is not roadworthy, we can discontinue it on the side of the road immediately thereafter in this regard with the new infrastructure. And this, once we are done on the side of the road, we just get a car to tow this away, and it's lifted up, and voila, then it can just be moved to the next area where we intend to really do the another spot check. So we have begun investing in this quite succinctly, and we have been doing a lot of work in this regard with several provinces. This far, we have distributed same to six provinces. We're budgeting annually to increase on this and to make sure that we have many more that can have a greater coverage to intervene directly in the issue of roadworthiness of vehicles. On the other side of the issue you have raised about our plans for the N3 near Harrismith, you are correct. It's a mountainous area. The truth is with the double lanes that are at Fenrennen now, the whole road servitude with the path even being cut off the mountain is complete. And in truth, from a topography as well as geology point of view, it's quite difficult to cut the mountain side any further on that path. So, and if you look downwards, the other side is a gorge. And the gorge in other instances goes as deep as more than a kilometer downwards. So that tells you how difficult this is to, from an engineering point of view, and how expensive it will be. So at some stage, Sandra looked at the coordinates of the N3 once more, and proposed a new pass called the De Beers Pass, which would have really alleviated this for a fraction of the cost of what needs to be done on the Van Rennen's Pass. This would have been the easier way of doing it. It will make the road more straighter. It will give us a gradient of the road of no more than 4 degrees. It will have allowed for trucks to move with efficiently. It will also, in the main, cut between 63 to 73 kilometers, depending on the actual plot of the road we take and on the actual cost that is being made. But there was resistance when communities were consulted, primarily because the new coordinates would have bypassed the town of Harrismith. And so there was a Harry Smith Business Forum that formulated itself and said that if we do that, we'll actually collapse the town of Harry Smith, and we must allow for traffic to continuously go through Harry Smith and therefore by extension through the Van Riemen Pass. So we are looking at solutions that previously engaged with former Minister Dipo Peters, who have given them the assurance that the department will indeed abandon their course, and told Sunrail to stop, and therefore, as a result, no works have been done on the expansion of work in that area. So we are looking at new possibilities for the business forum. We are looking at, because we did an assessment of ourselves through Sunrail of what businesses largely benefit out of the passive vehicles in the town of Harry Smith. And we recognize that it's the hotel, the truck stop, the garage, the few fish and chips and type of shops that are there, and mechanics and all of those people that services the trucks that stop there and so on. So we did the entire value chain of what we would say accounts for between 90 to 95% of the beneficiary businesses, and who are actually, ironically, the members of the Harry Smith Business Forum. We intend to engage with them with the possibility of seeing if we can do, we can offer them a right of first refusal on a new DBS pass course for land to replace their properties on the new plotted area. And then the key issue was then how do you get the workers to them? And if we do a link road between the current M3 and the new TPS pass, then we can also put a fast-tracked BRT bus service in the morning and afternoon to bring in the workers and work back to their places of work and abode. And in that way, we think that we can offer a better solution. It's still our thinking. We'll engage with the relevant parties when that happens, but we have done the calculations. If we were to try and expand by creating piers and viaducts to support the road network and expand the DBS, the Van Riemen Pass, the cost was at 4.7 times than if we block the DBS pass. So, and so therefore you can understand that the cost is quite prohibitive for us to even think about doing the Van Riemen Pass. So it is for that reason that we are where we are and why there has been a delay over so many years on this matter is because we simply can't ignore the needs of local communities and just do as we please. We, as a democratic government, we've got to indeed consult with them. So, Chair, the rest of the other things we have been requested information about, we will await the invitation of the committee and the notice of what we are required to provide, and indeed we will provide same chair to the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. DG, is the deputy minister here?
Chairperson, the DM is now attending the Back to School program in Limpopo, which started a bit earlier than anticipated. Hence, the apology of her leaving early was not submitted, and we do apologize for that. I just received that communication now as I was checking on her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cookie. Honorable Mangu, is your hand up?
Yes, Chair, it is, if you agree.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I think your patience as a chair, we are learning, many of us, you know. And please keep it up and share with what you are drinking with some of us. Chair, thank you very much to the DG. I wanted to make some proposals, if you allow, to deposit on top of what I've made. When I listened to the DG and listened to the minister earlier, I was convinced that maybe we are far from the end of this than we thought we are. I would like to add the following proposals, Chair. That we consider as a committee inviting provinces, there might not be all, to present to us their road safety plans, preferably towards December or whenever, if the committee agrees with me, that would be appropriate to that. Secondly, I would also like to propose that the committee, whenever the time avails itself, this year, next year, considers oversight to some provinces, and amongst other things which we have not done, focus on road safety issues, law enforcement and all those things, because Chair, there is a lot that you will get there. Hence I said, I think we need to be more, just provide solutions if we can, not try and debunk many things. We can pick up one or two metros, if we agree at some stage, on an oversight, which are doing very well. I will tell you that Buffalo City is amongst the best when it comes to alcohol enforcement. And those are lessons we need to learn from and see what is it that they are doing there. My third proposal, Chair, I'm depositing in, if we could have from the RTMC or the department, I don't know who's doing it, a particular focused presentation on road safety and education. I'm particularly excluding law enforcement here, but the education safety part of it. We have really not had much information about that. I would also, with your indulgence, propose exactly that particular information. Last but not least, I would like to deposit to the committee that we find a time where we could consider and get a report on the effectiveness of the National Traffic Police. That if we could do after we have met the provinces and their road law enforcement plan will assist us, so that as a committee we can take a particular view. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Jambas, let's see if there's an appetite. Anybody wants to support this honorable agenda? And Honorable Stoller? Honorable Hansinger?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, four proposals were made, three of which I support, and I think the fourth one we must put on hold so that we can expand on the fourth one. So don't see it as a rejection of the fourth proposal. The first one being that we invite provinces to engage with this committee with regards to each province's road safety program. I think we should also draw up a criteria of what we expect so that we can make comparisons and really measure and evaluate their efforts and plans. Secondly, there was a proposal with regards to as soon as time permits and conditions are supportive of our visits to provinces in doing oversight with regards to road safety. I think we should also then specify particular arrangements prior to just going, because road safety testing stations should form part of that as one element. Road maintenance and road conditions should be a second one. And I would also want to ask a Chairperson that we also include the attacks on trucks, since there are particular hotspots, and I think it justifies the presence of the portfolio committee to engage with provinces on particular hotspots and what measures have been undertaken to safeguard the lives of our truckers and the assets related to that. The third proposal from Honorable Mangu was that we, I think Honorable Mangu must repeat it, but I think I've overlapped on the second and third one, but certainly I'm in support of the proposals. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Ansinger. Mondis?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And Chairperson, I do support the proposal to invite the provinces to actually evaluate their plan for safety. But Chairperson, my concern, Chairperson, is that one. I didn't hear the DG talking about the potholes. Because Chairperson, I'm a victim of the potholes. I was driving through Mpumalanga to KwaZulu-Natal. My tire was burst because of the potholes. So now that's why I'm trying to check. Even I was at KwaZulu-Natal, I was at Durban. When you take the road from Dalton to Mutu, is a crisis. So now we have to understand the intervention of the national government or the national department on the potholes issue, because we cannot just leave it without being informed what is happening and what the mechanism do they have. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Can we agree? Can we agree to
a situation?
Jala wena so ikene itse musiwale. A go bitse. Ke tla bitsa hona tshe. Can we agree to a situation, honorable members, that when we call provinces, one of the issues should be also to deal with the state of their provincial roads, so that we can get direct from the people who are relevant to these potholes, unless these potholes are on a national road. I would concretely want to suggest that, Honorable Stole. Can we then take Honorable Mang, Honorable Kabang?
Nyabonga Manget. Mina a problem yami one. The Muloto Corridor.
Hey, Bovu, it overall.
Really, I cannot rest if I'm not answered about the Muloto Corridor. I understand that the DG has alluded to all the questions that I've asked, excluding only Muloto Corridor. Thank you.
Honorable members, if I recall well, I think we had an opportunity where there was a full presentation made on the progress and the situation about the Mloto Rail and Mloto Corridor. Am I correct, honorable members? Early this year, now in February. Honorable members, am I correct? Valerie?
Chair, you're correct, Chair.
I am correct.
Yeah, and we also had also our own program to go back at some point. So you are 100% correct, Chair.
Thank you very much. Okay. May I kindly summarize now, and I'm not losing anybody outside. I think the issue that has not, that will need to further deal with Honorable Manu, according to the support I hear you getting, maybe raise it in the portfolio committee. The last issue, that is the issue of education, safety and education. that you raised earlier on. Let's deal with it properly. This is what I had discouraged earlier on, but I can see happening. Honorable Mapena.
Thank you, sir, for that. But just to check, there was a program that we had actually told as a committee to do a DLT season counting. That program seemingly fell on the side of the road, and we didn't complete that work. I'm not sure if that is still on the program or not. Sorry about that.
It's 11 hours.
I am trying to convince members that let's close today's debate properly so that we don't cloud it with other programs. I think let's look at the program, honorable member, which was sent to us, I think, about 2-3 weeks back. Should members want us to add something there, as I can see we are beginning to come up with other resolutions, you will be given an opportunity once we do that. Please do remember as we do that to ask this specific question. with that note, let me say, DG and members, I appreciate the response and the questions, and the fact that the department is keen to go back and consult in terms of if there is any view to rearrange the Harrismith bypass. Because indeed, as you have put it correctly, DG, that was the case. So that we don't leave people aside. I should also hasten to say it is not and it will not be this committee's approach that we take an approach of us and them when we deal with the department. I just want to reiterate that it is true that the minister has tried his level best to attend whenever he's requested to be in the committee. We acknowledge that part. I also want to acknowledge that it is our view as this committee that we do sometimes and maybe always have difficult and robust discussions as we meet. And those discussions should not be misconstrued as a form of trying to disrespect the department. I also wish to say it is not our view as this committee, at least we have not taken that decision, that the department must not continue doing their job even when we are on recess as a committee. The department continues to issue statements, deal with whatever, and at an earliest convenient opportune time, we should be favored with that information. I think to be specific in this case, DG, if we may try and suggest with all humility, is that the issue of the stats is a big issue. I remember as a chairperson of the committee, I also issued a statement. What I think may work for all of us, as we have emails, is to try and just email us that information as you are about to release it, so that we have it. Coming to discuss it will be another matter, because we'll have to wait until we are properly functional and the information shall have been released. It shouldn't be an issue at all. And I think it's not our intention to say everything should stop. unless we see it. That's not what we are saying. All what we are saying, if I'm interpreting honorable members correctly, is that let's try and upgrade ourselves when it comes to the sharing of information. I think what members are saying is that can the department make a portfolio committee one of its priorities in terms of sharing information? Let us get that information. As you release it, at least we should be having it. I think that is the spirit with which we are putting this issue, and I should just honestly say, if some of the members were utterances landed in a way that suggests that the minister is disrespectful on behalf of this committee, that's not our view. Our view was that let's get this information. And I think I should also say some members thought there will be a presentation as we normally do, but because it's Friday, we thought we have all gone through the information. Let's deal with questions as they obtain, and I think that should not be an issue that or a problem that is pointed at the department. Honorable members, with your permission, can we quickly deal with the minutes of the 10th? Because they are part of the agenda and we are still forming a quorum. DG, you are allowed with your entire entourage, and we thank you for coming. We have been missing you. Thank you very much. Send our appreciation to the minister and the deputy minister. Thank you. You may be released if you so wish. Honorable members, can we deal with the minutes quickly, the minutes of the 10th? I've gone through the minutes. I have not seen any issue about the minutes. Can we adopt the minutes? Let me see hands. Am I stealing members here? Still having members? Honorable Mapena, I can see your picture here. Sonishwa.
So we are still here, just that honestly, I missed the minutes, and I generally don't like moving something that I didn't see. So hence my silence. Apologies.
Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I must also admit, I acknowledge the receipt of the minutes, but I really didn't work through the minutes. So, Chairperson, therefore, I also find it hard to propose, and therefore, pardon my silence. It is not out of ignorance of the agenda point. It is purely because I haven't had a look at the minutes.
I think let me acknowledge that honesty, and request members to go and acquaint themselves with the minutes. We shall deal with all the set of minutes. I've seen the minutes of the 16th also have been sent. So please let's find time to go through those minutes, and so that we can deal with the minutes next Tuesday. Otherwise, let me take this opportunity and wish all of the members and everybody a merry weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, colleagues.
Merry weekend and happy Sunday.
Thank you, Chairperson. Merry weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Yabo. I can see you are here. Thank you
and
very much.
And long live the chair, long live.
Long live. Thank you very much.
Long live, River, long live.